Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
It's January 12th, 2016. That's the first time I've said that number on this radio.
That's right, you have.
And this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, and we're coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California. And Lupin, by the way, clothing is optional, but as we've come to find out, the truth is always naked. And I'm Errol Strider.
And I, Rochelle Alicia Strider. I forgot who I was for a second.
No kidding.
We welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. And it's a very auspicious evening because this is the 100th show that we are doing here at Lupin. And it is our second year. For that, we invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and always a few surprises.
Our show is sponsored by Go Raw, healthy food, delicious, good for you, and it's, guess what, not cooked. And Universe Spirit.
Are you kidding?
You kidding?
Kidding.
Kidding. It's a phenomenon that we engage in a lot, that like many things we look at during Inside Out conversations, it's a very prominent thing in our life. And what's behind it?
It's not prominent enough to be kidding, because kidding evokes laughter. And we tend to be very serious a lot.
Some of the synonyms were tickle, taunt, tease, rib, and my favorite, bamboozle. So I hope tonight we're going to have some significant bamboozling as we look at being kidded and are you kidding and all of that.
You're kidding.
Just kidding.
I am not kidding. You're kidding. I'm the straight man.
You kidding? I'm going to just share a little thought I had about no kidding. It's like this conversation I overheard between segments of the American electorate. We can do this. And here's the conversation. I'm supporting Donald Trump. You're kidding. No, I'm not kidding. Please, tell me you're kidding. No. Come on. You gotta be kidding. Why would I be kidding? Because he's a joke. Well, you won't be laughing when he's president. That's why I hope you're just kidding. Well, wasn't a great joke, but you get the point.
Remember a while back you came up with a saying that said, if we really knew, we'd be laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it follows with, are we kidding? Sometimes I think that it's a big joke, the way people stand up in front of people and say things as politicians. The things they say could possibly want us to vote for them to lead our country. You have to be kidding.
If I might stumble in here, this is Senator Beauregard, and as you know, I am a proponent of the mission of the United States of America, and people ask me, Senator, are you kidding? They do all the time. They ask me, you want people to actually get behind the mission of the United States? Why, these folks hardly even know there is a mission, let alone get front, behind, or beside it. You got to be kidding, Senator. And my response to those folks, as well as to y'all others out there, is that ideals, believe it or not, have enormous power. Now, they're not as catchy as ideas. You got to remember that this country was founded on an ideal of the possibility of being free from oppression, etc., and being able to make up your own damn taxes.
You've got to be kidding.
I'm not kidding. The power of an ideal, once it gets lodged into a man's soul, into his heart, into his breast, will fire up with enthusiasm for being able to make real changes in the long term and for the long term. I'm not kidding. I mean, I don't want to take myself seriously because, after all, no matter what we do here on this planet, as we all know, we're only on it for just a very short amount of time. But that's another story. But I'd like to leave y'all with, I'm not kidding about the possibility of this revival taking place once you have this ideal felt in the human, in this case, American heart and spirit. It can just take us right up there to some very high places of living.
You have to be kidding. You know, you could have a rocket ship, but if you can't drive it or you don't know how to ignite it, it's not going to go anywhere. So it's educating people to know how to ignite it, to drive it, to make it work, is probably fundamental. And I'm not kidding.
You're not kidding.
No.
I'm reading about a time on this planet where it was really hard to have kidding. And that's 1940, 41 England. I'm reading the biography of Churchill. And they were going it alone. And every single night for certain periods of time, these bombers would just come over and have their way. That's what you could look forward to night after night after night, was these bombers dropping all kinds of incendiary bombs and bombs that were designed to go off in different ways to wreak the maximum amount of havoc and destruction possible. Let me tell you, that is just very not funny. And yet, Winston maintained a sense of humor throughout. He had some good lines. He was excited about being at war because it felt like this is what he was there to do. And so in the middle of all that blitzing and chaos and fear, it's good to be able to kid ourselves and be kidded.
Well, how did he kid you?
He was asked sometime later. Things are quiet down. He wasn't excited. This is after the war. And he said something like, one can't always have a war when one wants, can one? Or something. Not one wants, but implying that it was a great time. He'd sit down on the roof and watch it like fireworks. He was such a combination of a child and this great man and this amazing ability to hold forth the intention and the concept of victory. Well, that makes us appreciate the fun of it all. And that's what we're here to do, is remind ourselves not to take it too seriously. It's just fun.
We wanna see. just fun.
Just funnin'. That was Mitume, M-T-U-M-E. When he was born, Mitume, they only had four vowels.
I know you're kidding. Please forgive us for making fun of your name.
Maybe it was a Hebrew name. There just were no vowels.
Are you kidding?
I don't know. I don't know how that language works. And I've studied Hebrew without having...
But this is not... Mitume is not Hebrew.
Probably not.
No. Sometimes there are people that are destined to come of age and to become great during times of strife. At another time, if it wasn't stressful, that person wouldn't shine as much. But people who just know how to make something that's so awesome, to unravel the knots of oppression and pain and war into freedom. And he did that for England. Who knows how great he could have been without a war? It was almost like he and that war were in some way symbiotic. So it's like a symbiotic relationship, Churchill and the war, Roosevelt and the Depression and the war. These people like came about, they fit so perfectly. And I'm not kidding.
Speaking of not kidding, he tried to get Roosevelt, of course, America, to help him out. Besides being bombed all to smithereens, they were going broke. It was just an unbelievable set of circumstances. But I think it's good to set the stage for the humor and the kiddingness with a realistic background that evolution is like a volcano constantly going off. It's simultaneously wreaking havoc and exploding and bombarding all over reality. And at the same time, it's beginning to congeal. The lava congeals until such time as it cools. And at a certain point, we're actually walking on it. And it's a beautiful day.
Not only walking on it, but things start growing on it, underneath it, and start to come out of it.
It's just phenomenal, isn't it, Professor?
Oh, yes. Hello, this is Professor Umbridge. Of course, I'm always delighted to be here. Again, I'm so sorry you were sick last week, and I'm happy you're back. Yes, the universe is quite a fetching place, actually, if you think about it. It's fetching here, it's fetching there, it's quite fetching.
What is it fetching, Professor?
Well, it's fetching more of itself to add to itself, because it seems to be very busy multiplying itself and expanding and going every which way. The universe has got an attitude of, I'm not kidding. Really, it just kind of goes poof all over the place, and we say to the universe and evolution and all the shenanigans that are happening therein, you're kidding. And it's like, no, not really. No, we are actually happening all over the place in all these various ways, some of which are quite amazing and glorious, and others are almost equally painful and laborious. And there you have it. There you have this amazing place that apparently isn't kidding. Life isn't kidding, and yet it's a very kidding kind of thing, life. It does come upon you sometimes and kind of pops you in the ribs and kids you and says something like, God, you thought you were supposed to take yourself seriously. Hey.
One of the things I am discovering, well, I guess I've discovered it before, but it's right in my face right now, being our granddaughter. And watching how life grows and how we learn, we develop. And as we develop, all our senses develop and our cognitive awareness develop. Everything's developing constantly. It's like this expansion of who we are. And then it expands beyond who we are. And it affects the ground we live on and the air we breathe and the water we drink and everything else. So we are affected, and we are the effect of everything. I'm not kidding.
Okay. I thought you were kidding. Because what I wanted to say is, I think we all need a big hug. I mean, really, if you could just kind of stop everything, the whole world right now, all 6 mm-hmm. billion, and just say, okay, come on. It's time for a group hug.
Well, it's very interesting. I work with a lady. We're dealing with someone who keeps coming here, who creates a lot of drama and very negative vibration. she showed up again and wasn't supposed to be here. And my associate went up to her and hugged her and told her that you're not supposed to be here, but that doesn't mean I can't love you. I don't know if she said those words, but the hug was that kind of thing. It blew my mind because I try really hard to practice love, but I wouldn't have hugged her. I would have hit her.
Because
she's so troublesome.
You're kidding, right? You wouldn't really try to hit her.
No, I wouldn't hit her.
Kidding.
But I mean, that was a feeling, one of more, to separate myself from her rather than to come into union with her. That is humbling because I really work very hard at wanting to come into union. And this associate of mine did create that space. She did hug her. That's a start. You know, one person doing that, maybe the other person could just take advantage of that and do what she wanted. But maybe it planted a seed. Life is not so horrible as she thinks.
If I could come in here and talk for a minute, this is Rabbi Greenberg. This is what he meant by going the second mile, the great teacher and master Yeshua. He talked about people going the second mile, meaning that if someone slaps you across the kisser, that would be the first mile. You want to slap him across his kisser. But he says, don't do that. What you want to do is like do something they wouldn't expect. That's going to like almost as an activity that you would do if they hadn't done something bad to you, like what you just described. This woman, she gave her a hug, even though the other person was trying to still get away with something and manipulate the situation. Yeah, and to me, that's disarming when someone does the unexpected like that, mm-hmm. in a way that moves towards you and not pushing away. And by the way, we forgive you, Michelle. I know you're just kidding. You wouldn't try to kill her, even though you wanted to, but that's okay.
Well, what I'm saying is my feelings toward her didn't allow me to do that at that moment in time. My feeling was to push her away, get rid of her, get her out of my sight because she was so troublesome. I wasn't looking to ameliorate her. It was humbling because I didn't feel that way, but I was so happy that someone close to me in that situation did feel that way, and I was grateful.
Work, work, money, money, work, work, money, money, work, work, funny, money, work, 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 hurry, hurry, work, work, worry, worry, work, work, hurry, hurry, worry, worry, work, work. Morning, 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 Jill, morning, Jack, can't complain, keep coming back. Morning, 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 Jim, morning, Fred, work all day until you're dead. Money is the root of evil, money is the fruit of sin, money is the root of everything, wear a suit, they'll let you in. Morning, 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 what's the point and what's the use? Work and earn and reproduce. Boring, 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 work all day, earn your bread, till you finally drop down dead. Money is the root of evil, money is the fruit of sin.
End up in the loony bin.
Work, work, money, money, work, work, money, money, work, work, funny money, funny money, work, work,
work, work, hurry, hurry, work, work, worry, worry, work, work, hurry, hurry, worry, worry, work, work. Money is the root of evil, money is the fruit of sin, money is the root of everything, pay up or we'll do you in. Work hard every single day, work, work, work your life away. Don't question what, don't question why, just keep working till you die. Money is the root of evil, money is the fruit of sin, money is the root of everything,
the Grim Reaper's coming in.
Life is a silly walk in the park, a knife in your throat held after dark. Life is a terrible joke, a lark, a spoken word, and it all goes dark. Money is the fruit of evil, money is the root of sin, funny money looks will make you rich.
Life's a bitch and you can't win.
Money is the root of evil, never, never question why. Money is the fruit of evil. Work all day until you die.
Ugh. Are you kidding?
Just kidding.
Who is this? It has to be Monty Python.
Of course.
Funny, because you're coming up with some funny songs that do tickle us. But do they taunt us? When you use that definition of kidding or the synonyms, taunt and bamboozle, you know, they're sort of like words that are, I don't know, take advantage of people. When we say, are you kidding? Have you been telling me the truth? Have you been exposing me to something so outrageous that it's hard to believe when I would say, are you kidding? Or it's like, wow, is that real? Because it's so much larger than my mind can conceive. Are you kidding? That really happened? It has so many different ways of looking at it that aren't funny.
That's why we picked it as our subject. Oh, Father O'Malley, what do you have to say about kidding? Oh, Sheridan, I'm a kidder all my life there. Because if you don't kid people, they tend to want to go over the edge of, what you say there, Rabbi, about taking themselves too seriously. Now, that's on one hand. On the other hand, kidding can be like a precursor to teasing, and as we know, teasing can move right on up to torture. So there's some dark side to this whole equation there that's important to pay attention to. That kidding can be like a slight little, like, get way of getting it to somebody in some kind of, like, passive-aggressive behavior there. On the other hand, it's a way of being playful with each other in what we usually think of as a safe way. I would say there's a lot of kidding that goes on. For example, organizational settings where there's a certain amount of tension that builds up and people deal with it by kidding each other. And some are better kidders than others, quite frankly. Better kidders. I prefer the better kidders. But it's like anything else, you have a talent for it, or you don't. But it doesn't keep people from trying to do it anyway, does it, darling?
The thing that I remember is like kidding around with people that you like a lot. One-upmanship with words or joking and kidding become synonymous and telling little funny stories and ribbing each other, which is kidding each other. That's the kidding I like the most.
You're kidding. I remember going over to some friends of ours' house and they want to demonstrate to us how instead of using dental floss, they use yarn and scotch. They got some yarn and scotch out and we all had some scotch and yarned and flossed with each other. It was a whole different kind of way of spending an evening with folks.
Are you kidding? Got drunk?
Right.
I don't remember.
It was especially good flossing time with other people. And you don't get that often. You don't get all that quality
you
flossing
don't.
Togetherness
no.
thing. I do want to go back to this big hug thing.
You have to be kidding.
If not a hug, at least maybe a good look into each other's eyes so that you'll see that there's a soul there.
Mm.
And not to get all caught up in the affect, all the shenanigans and activities that people do. And what do you say, Barney? You notice that in your line of work? Oh, yeah. Yeah, people are always taking themselves very seriously and they're banging on each other and threatening each other. And you went back to that song there, for money, money, you know, the money's the root of all sin. Now, I do not happen to think that it is money that is the root of all evil. I think it's greed. Yeah, greed is what it is. It's not the money, because the money is just a means of exchange. It's a symbol, but it's that compulsion to have more and get more and take more. And it's a combination of trying to protect yourself from this dangerous thing called the future and maximizing the quality of, or I should say the quantity, of your present life here. There's underlying fear that there's never enough and you'll never have enough fear. And that seems to be what drives the fear. So underneath all of that, we've talked about this before in this program, is this whole scarcity thing, that there's this kind of fundamental belief that the universe is scarce. But let me tell you something about this universe. It is, well,
listen to this. Whenever life gets you down, Mrs. Brown, and things seem hard or tough, and people are stupid, obnoxious, or daft, and you feel that you've had quite enough, just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving and revolving at 900 miles an hour. That's orbiting at 90 miles a second, so it's reckoned a sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day in an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour. The galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe.
Monty Python.
Just kidding.
Oh, is that, what is that called again?
Galaxy Song. Putting things in perspective is a way of undermining our self-seriousness. I think proportionate to how much we think we as individuals occupy the whole universe, as that gets smaller and smaller, our sense of humor expands and our impulse to kid and be playful with each other also grows because we learn to love the laugh.
Oh, that's a nice line, love the laugh. We're more self-absorbed when we are immature. This truth for me is worth saying every single time that I have a chance to speak.
So but what does someone do with that truth, though?
You can forgive yourself for being self-absorbed. You can forgive others for being self-absorbed. The same way I forgive Ella, forgive in the sense that there's nothing to forgive. That's where she is. That she's not walking. She's not talking yet. She's not using words because she's not capable of doing that. She's an infant. Once I realize that, I don't hold her accountable for not doing those things. I don't take her seriously. I don't even think she's kidding me. I just see her the way she is. Once we realize that, we have greater compassion for each other. We have greater understanding. We have greater love.
See, I took her aside the other day.
Are you kidding?
And I said, Ella, you're not a biped for nothing, okay? So we need to kind of move it along here and see what you can do. But she just really actually didn't pay much attention to me. I think she thought maybe I was just kidding. But I'm not sure I was kidding.
Because she's going to move at her own pace.
Evidently.
Which is the most wonderful thing to be able to see and realize. I love it.
This is Inside Out, the Naked Truth. We've been on the air now 100 programs in this go-around. What we didn't mention was that we were on for 3 years. 1904, 1908, and 1912.
Are you kidding?
We've learned a lot. What would you say you've learned after doing this program, Rochelle, for as much time? So we got essentially 5 years of programs. We've been talking to each other. You still won't listen, by the way, as hard as we try. Just kidding.
You are kidding.
Just kidding.
I know you're kidding. I think the thing that I've learned the most is that being articulate doesn't require practice as much as it requires consciousness.
And what about being inarticulate? What does that require?
Are we talking about you?
You're kidding, I hope.
I am. You're very articulate. But there's the sense of going into the depths of our own being as we talk to each other. And I find as we focus on each other and talk to each other and have these wonderful conversations, I feel it's not going through a process of, oh, I have to say this and I have to say that, but it sort of comes out from the relationship and from the relationship to each other and the program itself and the topic and the phrases that we pick. And there's this lovely dance with all those elements that I enjoy so much. If I've learned anything, it's about letting go and letting that happen more and more and more.
And to trust the rightness of my perspective, of course.
You are kidding.
Whoops. Whoops, indeed. Well, in each show and over the years, it's always been a quest to uncover something that I didn't know, or hadn't thought about, or strikes me as particularly humorous. And that inevitably, the humor is about
something that I wouldn't have expected to show up in that particular way. So it catches you off guard.
It's funny. I don't rule out the expected for humor, because sometimes when I expect something and then it happens, it causes me just as much humor as the unexpected.
I've learned that in the art of telling a joke.
It took you a while to get to the word joke.
Well, that was the whole point. It was an example of what you're saying. Sometimes when you know someone's going to say something, mm-hmm. like telling a joke.
I didn't know you were going to say that.
Oh, okay.
Well, Jack Benny was a master at that. Because you knew, like, he had this stuff that he would say over and over again. You kind of waited for it. And then he'd make you wait for it. And then he'd say it. And it was fun.
He had such a talent, as so many have, and for which I'm so grateful, about making people laugh.
Short people have long faces, and long people have short faces. Big people have little humor, and little people have no humor at all.
And in the words of that immortal bard, Samuel J. Snodgrass, as he was about to be led to the guillotine, make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? Ah, ah. My dad said be an actor, my son, but be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. Now you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite, and you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh. Make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My grandpa said go out and tell them a joke, but give it plenty of hope. Make them roar, make them scream. Take a fall, but a wall, split a seam. You start off by pretending you're a dancer with grace. You wiggle till they're giggling all over the place. And then you get a great big custard pie in the face. Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh.
From Singing in the Rain.
It was. Making them laugh. And if you've never seen that scene, it's a little dated, of course, but it's excellent and brilliant. And his comedy and his timing and his whole shtick.
His physicalness, too.
He was a wonderful, make them laugh kind of guy.
Funny, funny, funny. I know one thing. I can't try to make people laugh. Every time I try to make somebody laugh, it falls like a dead whatever. Dead. It just lays there. What is that way you say you bombed in some place?
We did bomb. We took our show Family Baggage to Los Angeles, and we opened on Friday the 13th with a heat wave in a non-air-conditioned theater.
That seated 1,200 people.
At least, yes. And that was the highlight of the event. I have this movie that I haven't written called We Bombed in L.A. It was so bad. It was so painful. We were losing money so fast, and we just got bad reviews by the people who needed to review it good.
And we got some good reviews.
We did get some good reviews. And we had a lot of mixed reviews. That's what they mean by mixed reviews.
Some are good and some are bad. Can't be kidding about that.
That was a time of humbling, one of those times when you're going through it, it's really painful. But as I look back on it now, as other times like that that have been painful and humiliating, they're really funny. I was funny.
Yeah, you were funny. You were all crippled. He called in about four different kinds of chiropractors to straighten this man out.
Well, that's the little joke, that the fun joke that I believe the universe plays on us. If you go with whatever is
bugging you, let's say, and you work with it and you choose to be creative with it, it will inevitably open up a whole bunch of possibilities that each in turn will offer some kind of opportunity to creatively and playfully interact with life.
And you're not kidding.
Our show is sponsored by Go Raw, healthy food, good for you, and Universe Spirit. Universe Spirit is so concerned and so involved with what it considers, and arguably others would consider, our number one problem, which is climate change. It's not always number one. Sometimes the number one problem is, where's the bathroom? But once you get past those kind of problems, the fact that we're going to be undergoing apparently some serious changes in our lifestyles. And so it would behoove us to consider, and this is a big issue right now, is moving toward being a divided civilization. Of course, we've always been a divided bunch of folks. That just seems to be our nature, or has been our nature. But can we afford it at this point, and can we accelerate our impulse to join together, or will the circumstances just inevitably do that? It's just going to get so challenging that we'll have to adapt.
Things happen and you come together because you've got to solve it, and you can't solve it alone. You have to solve it together. And that's happening, but we don't know that that's happening. We still think that ideology rules. What's happening is the planet itself is going to start ruling us. And we're going to realize that we're all on this planet together. And I don't know when that's going to happen, but it is inevitable that that happens. I am not kidding.
I'll bite. Why?
I think it's a law of physics.
A law of physics?
Yes.
All right, now you're in the physics realm. I have to bring in Professor Schnitzel. We've said the magic word. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is Professor Schnitzel, and you say the word physics, and right away you're talking about things that can be very, very small and things that can be very large, and the basic interaction of these things at those levels which affect everything, and yet they are so far below the conscious level, you can't even see them. You see an electron microscope, but it's not really actually seeing the little electrons because they're hiding, and they're hiding behind each other, swirling around there. But you infer from the things you can see their existence, and that's a lot what science does, assisting us to be able to make better adaptation to the universe the way it is. But the study of physics is a phenomenal thing here, because you have these forces, and the forces of light, the activity of sound and rays and X-rays and gravity and all these fundamental activities of existence all happening together. It's definitely worth studying it. It's something that they're not kidding about when they do those things. They're not kidding.
Bumping into each other, flying away. Start creating something new. Something new grows out of that. I mean, watch the way things happen in the world. And this newness is not really new. It's merely a conglomeration of all that came before. But the thing is that it feels explosive almost. It feels brand new in its sense. And it's happening all the time. But it happens on a small level, and then it grows and grows until we actually can feel that we're part of it. It's in place since life began, and we'll start to understand that. Humans, I won't be here, but humans will start to understand that. And when humans do understand that, all the sense of unity will take place.
It reminds me of a punchline to a joke. I don't remember the joke, but the punchline was, ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny.
Are you kidding? Oh, well, that's a punchline that everybody knows.
It's a punchline begging for a setup. I know it is.
You kidding me?
I see it out on the street.
Say that again.
Ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. Now, maybe it's the other way around, but do you want to explain that, Professor Schnitzel? Oh, yeah, what it means is that whenever the individual organism is going through, it's recapitulating what the large universal organism is going through, and its fauna is doing the same as the others, like holograms. And holograms is a very good thing for holy feeling people. And that's where they have holograms. And they have so many holograms per serving. But
are you kidding, Professor?
But if you order an extra serving, you will get extra holograms. It includes 15 grams of protein and several holograms added to the protein, which makes it something that can bring about or catalyze, as we like to say in science, a certain expediting of improved activity and mobility and the ability to adapt more quickly and readily to adverse situations. And so it keeps you on your toes. So you can look at people and say to them with conviction, I'm not kidding.
Except you are. I think it's very funny.
No, I'm not kidding.
Thank you. Well, you aren't.
Well, what about you?
Well, I kid every now and then. I like to kid. It's fun. Somebody was wearing a T-shirt that said, I can't be kidnapped, or something like that. And I found myself wanting to kid with that and say, oh, God, now you tell me I was planning on kidnapping you, you know. That was silly. That had to be there.
Speaking of be there, I got to play just a little bit of this because it's such a charming little funny little song. And I thought of it when Donald O'Connor was singing his song about Make Him Laugh. And this is a number from Kiss Me, Kate, which is a show I did. And it's just cute. It's so clever. Here we go.
The girls today in society go for classical poetry. So to win their hearts, one must quote with ease Aeschylus and Euripides.
One must know Homer and, believe me, Paul,
Sophocles, also Sappho.
Unless you know Shelley
and Keats
and Pope, dainty deppies will call you a dope.
But the poet of them all,
who will start 'em simply raving,
is the poet people call
the Bard of Stratford-on-Avon. Brush up your Shakespeare, start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare, and the women you will wow.
Just declaim a few lines from Otello, and they'll think you're a hell of a fella.
If your blonde won't respond when you flatter her, tell her what Tony told Cleopatra.
If she fights when her clothes you are mussing,
what a clothes much ado about nothing. Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all bow, bow. Brush up your Shakespeare, start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare, and the women you will wow.
With the wife of the British ambassador, try a crack of the Troilus and Cressida.
If she says she won't buy it or tie it, make her tie it, what's more, as you like it.
If she says your behavior is heinous, kick her right in the Coriolanus. Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all bow, bow.
Are you
Isn't
kidding?
I had this vague sense that I may have actually performed that in college.
Oh, when the memory starts fading, what else is there?
Kidding?
You can kid, but you have to kid in the present because you can't kid in the past.
Well, that's what the past ideally should be used for. It should be a reservoir of wisdom and opportunities to see the fun and absurdity and to deepen our capacity for compassion. Just immersing myself in this 1940 England, 1941, and feeling, it's a book, and obviously I'm not there having the direct experience, but it's so intense, just imagining that going on every day of your life. It's important to remember. One of the things I suggested in looking at kidding, you know, when is it really not appropriate to kid? Like, I remember on some of the comedian shows, like The Tonight Show and David Letterman, right after 9/11, and it was like, I don't think we're ready to laugh yet.
No.
So that puts the comedian in a kind of a funny, awkward position. That's your shtick, and yet you got to get off of it because the pain is too close, immediate, and intense.
I was thinking about the intensity of war, people who live under the umbrella of war, where bombing and torture and excruciating cruelty takes place. When you're a victim of that, or let's say, I don't want to use the word victim, but when you're a recipient,
recipient
of that cruelty and horror, a minute can seem like all of your life. Time is just like, it's endless. It feels like it will never stop. And when it's over, if you're still alive, there's this sense that, did this really happen? Could something as horrible as this really have happened to me? Just small things, tiny little things, when you know you have a pain that's so unbearable. When I was little, I had an abscess in my tooth, and it was so painful that I bit into my bottom lip. I still have the scar from it, you know, to keep from screaming because it was so, so painful. And now I can't remember the pain at all. I can just remember the thoughts, the pain, but the actual pain is gone.
Now, isn't that a way the universe is saying, just kidding, it gives you pain, yeah, you don't have to remember it.
It's definitely like a bamboozle.
But it reminds me of that concept that I read that said, the greatest affliction is never to have been afflicted, that a life without being tested and stretched, enduring some kind of discomfort. I guess the question is, how much is required? And that would vary for each person, I guess.
And can you learn without it? I don't know.
Well, the question you ask is, can you learn without it? I think it's a moot point because you're going to get it either way. And you will learn, or you'll have the opportunity again, if you want to continue evolving and growing in the universe. As I understand, and if they are not kidding, the progenitors of universe reality and their effort to give birth to, animate, and bring along these billions and zillions of conscious beings, all sharing this incredible phenomenon. And I was meditating on this just last night, and that is the experience of self-awareness. That I am this I am. And that's why the deepest, most essential, I guess I want to say, theological foundation or premise for me at this point in my life is when I stop to allow myself to fully be aware of the I am that I am, I then recognize that I share that very I am-ness with the source of all being, and that we are the same I am coming at reality from different angles, perspectives, distances, times, and filters.
I don't think you're kidding.
I'm not kidding, but we were just told by our wonderful supportive team at the studio there that we have a little less than about a minute. So any last things you want to say about kidding, no kidding, being a kidder?
I like kidding, and I like realizing that I don't have to kid and that I'm not kidding sometimes. So kidding moves all over the place.
Well, then let's hear it for everyone. I hope you all have a kadoodle, which is kidding plus doodle. So it's a kadoodle. If you have it, you'll recognize it.
Just want you to know that Go Raw can be found at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and the organic section of Costco, even Safeway. So go to goraw.com to find out where Go Raw can be found in your neighborhood. And go on the web and go to Universe Spirit and see what that is all about.
But aside from that, Rochelle, what do our folks need to remember?
Remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt.
No kidding?
No kidding.
co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit UniverseSpirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.